James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, you'll meet a woman who, according to our new president, has no right to live.
My biological father is a rapist. I don't even know my ethnicity. But I am still a human being, and I still have value. And my life isn't worth less than yours just because of the way I was conceived.
Experience this compelling story on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. This past Friday marked a grisly milestone in American history. It was the 48th anniversary of the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision, which legalized abortion on demand and has led to the wholesale slaughter of more than 60 million children. This Holocaust is an affront to God, who created every human being in His own image. On today's program, we will share a powerful call to take a stand on abortion. And we begin with a woman who should have been killed before she was born, at least according to pro-abortionists. Instead, Pam Stenzel lives today as a powerful witness for the sanctity of human life.
So I've spent a lot of years traveling around the country and around the world talking to students about sex and God's plan for sex. And God created sex. It's amazing, but He put a boundary around it. And that boundary is marriage, not a fuzzy feeling, not we like each other, marriage. And the reason for that boundary is to protect us physically from all the STIs and unplanned pregnancies and all of the pain that can come with sex outside of that boundary, but also emotionally and spiritually, and to protect our marriages. I think one of the things that is fascinating when you speak to students, especially as we get into the college age, it's like somewhere we thought we could just sleep around, we didn't need the boundary, and someday we would get married, we'd be in love, we'd say some magic words, and now we would be able to control what we never controlled before. Sexual discipline is something you have to practice, not just before marriage, but after marriage. It is a forever thing. It's not just, oh, these teenagers or these students have to practice sexual discipline, but we all can do whatever we want. And it's important because what we found is that statistically, we have so much divorce, marriage is failing, so much infidelity and unfaithfulness. But the reality is, if two people get married as virgins, both of them have already had the sexual discipline throughout their growing up years and certainly during their dating, that there is a 2% divorce rate for couples who marry as virgins. And so what that tells us, the most important thing it tells us, is that the same discipline that you put in place prior to making that commitment to marriage is the discipline that you use to maintain that same integrity while you're married. One of my favorite pastors said, every couple that comes to my church to get married sits down with me. First thing he asks them is, are you having sex or are you living together? If they say yes to either of those things, this very wise pastor looks at them and says, you've both told each other by your behavior that you're perfectly comfortable having sex with someone you're not married to. Weddings don't fix that. Right? So the important thing to understand is that your boundary can't be whoever you like at any given moment. Your boundary has to be marriage, covenant, that decision where one man, one woman make a commitment to each other for life. God loves you and God loves me, and God's law is not about wrecking our fun and ruining our weekend. It's about giving us the best. Jesus came to give us life, but God took a colossal risk at the beginning of time. And if I were God, I would not have done it, which is why I'm not. God, for some reason, decided to let you choose. Give us a choice, knowing that we would all at one point shake our fists in His face and tell Him we don't need Him. We don't need His rules. God doesn't need to tell me how to live my life. And what would follow would be sin, disease, pain, and death. even though he knew that, he still let you choose. So God's boundary is not about ruining your fun. God's boundary is about protecting you. And it's really important that we understand when we choose to not abide by his boundary, there is always a consequence. The wages of sin is death, not occasionally, every single time. And so we live in a culture that believes we can sin safely. You can't sin safely. The end result of sin will always be, at some level, death. Obviously, when we talk to students about sex and the consequences of sex, the biggest fear that most young people have when it comes to decisions about sex is pregnancy. They're afraid that they might be pregnant. And it's so important to understand, pregnancy is not a disease. It's survivable. You can live through that. That is not the worst thing that could happen. I'll have a girl come into my pregnancy clinic for a pregnancy test. She's scared, waiting for the results of that test. I walk in and say, hey, your test is negative. She gets this look of relief over her face, like, I'm off the hook, thank goodness, I'm not pregnant, let me out of your clinic. Wait a minute, have you been tested for syphilis, gonorrhea, herpes, chlamydia, trichinomas, vulvodynia, arthritis, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, HPV, HIV? Have you been tested for these things? And typically they're like, me? Why would I need to be tested for that? Our students still don't understand the tremendous risk right now of STI infection. Every year, the Centers for Disease Control releases their surveillance reports and tells us what's going on across the United States when it comes to STDs. Last year, we had the highest STD rate we have ever had in the history of recording this. We had 22.5 million new infections in the U.S. with sexually transmitted diseases, and close to 60% of that number are people between the ages of 15 and 24. So we know where the problem is. It's there. In the 1950s, we had 5 sexually transmitted infections we knew about and were treating. Today, we have over 30, 30% of them absolutely incurable. And the problem that especially our young people don't understand is that of these major 30 STDs we're dealing with, 26 of them primarily damage women. The other 4 damage both. And this damage that's long-term can be primarily fertility, future fertility. We've had an increase of infertility among women in our country, upwards of 400% just in the last decade. Because the reality is we've got so many young people who are making not the best choices when it comes to sex. They're either they know they've been infected with an STD like chlamydia, or some of them were infected and never knew it. All of a sudden they get married and think, oh, well, I want to be a mom now. You know, I found the right guy, I finished college. She tries to get pregnant, she can't, goes running to a doctor, and he says, my goodness, sweetheart, you've got all this scar tissue in your fallopian tubes, your ovaries, your uterus. You have pelvic inflammatory disease. You had chlamydia when you were a teenager or a college student. It's like, what? I had a sexually transmitted infection. I didn't even know. It's too late now. It's too late. And it's so important, before young people make decisions about what they're going to do, that they fully understand what the consequence of that could be, not to their immediate physical self, but to their ability to have children someday and future problems. And so it is an epidemic of sexually transmitted infection in our country. And your risk of infection is directly related to your number of partners. Has nothing to do with whether you used a condom or a vaccine or all of these things that supposedly reduce your risk. Your risk of infection is directly related to your number of partners. And so, you know, that's the big question. That's what I've said to every kid. Before you get married, both of you have to be really honest about every place you've ever been, because you're not just having sex with that person, you're with everyone they've been with and everyone they've been with and everyone they've been with for at least a decade. 55 years ago, a young 15-year-old became pregnant. She had a lot of difficult choices to make, maybe more so than some teen girls, because she was raped. But this 15-year-old girl chose to give her child life and to place that child with an adoptive family, and that child was me. My biological father is a rapist. I don't even know my ethnicity, but I am still a human being, and I still have value, and my life isn't worth less than yours just because of the way I was conceived, and I did not deserve the death penalty because of the crime of my biological father. And I've listened to the rhetoric my whole life. Listen to people say, well, every child should be wanted and planned. I've heard this said in the church. Well, I wouldn't have an abortion. That's horrible. I wouldn't kill my child. But if it were rape, you're a mistake, Pam. I don't believe that. I believe that every child is wanted by someone. And I believe that God, in his mercy, had a plan for me. And I've not met my birth mother. I've been praying for her since I was 4. I found out from my social worker that my mother was not only raped and 15, but she was in foster care at the time of my conception. So just imagine, had I been born in 1975 instead of 1965, I probably would have been killed by the state. But I've always said, someday I hope to get to meet this brave woman. She's my hero. And wrap my arms around her and tell her that I love her, because she loved me. Loved me enough to give me my life. And then she loved me enough to give me the next most special gift I was ever given. And that's my family. I'm the oldest of 8 children, 7 of us adopted. Every color of the rainbow in my family. We're the United Nations by ourselves. And I know that my amazing family was a gift from a very scared 15-year-old girl. What my biological mother needed in her horrible, dark time, having gone through the horror of being sexually violated and raped, what she needed was not violence added to violence. Having me ripped from her womb and dismembered would have only damaged her further. It would have killed me. It would have further damaged her. Who are you helping? You're helping the rapist. When you advocate abortion in the case of rape or incest, you are not helping the baby involved. You're not helping the mother. You're helping the perpetrator. And you're allowing that perpetrator to continue to perpetrate other victims because it's all been pushed under the rug. I know that what my birth mother needed was someone to love her, to walk alongside her, to be there for her, to bring hope to her. And that's why I have spent my life walking alongside women in crisis pregnancies and saying, we can help you. Whatever you need, emotionally, physically, spiritually, we are going to be here for you through this crisis and beyond.
It has been said that the sanctity of life is like the big E on the eye chart. Those who can't see that life is sacred can't clearly see or understand any other moral issue facing mankind.
The sanctity of life is not just some odd little view off on the side that we can ignore. It is the foundation of Western civilization.
In the powerful booklet, Life, an Inalienable Right, co-authors Dr. D. James Kennedy and Dr. Jerry Newcomb look at some of the most compelling issues surrounding the sanctity of human life. For your generous donation toward the work of this ministry, we'll send you the booklet, Life, an Inalienable Right, to help you clearly articulate and defend the sanctity of human life as the foundation for not only a Christian worldview, but for civilization itself.
According to the pro-abortion left, Pam Stenzel did not even have the right to live. Children of rape, children with genetic defects like Down syndrome, children who will hinder their mother's careers, all are unworthy of life and should be killed, according to the worldview of death exemplified by the abortion movement. By contrast, it's the Christian church that has stood for centuries to protect the least of these among us. In a culture that's overrun with the hatred of God and children created in his image, will we forget? Will we give up the battle and bow to the spirit of the age? Dr. Kennedy has a provocative question for all of us.
My question today is, will the church forget? Will the church forget what you and they and a great many thousands of others fought for, and what some gave the last full measure of devotion to defend? For the principles upon which this nation was founded, of liberty and not license, of godliness and piety and morality. This is what this nation was built upon. Will those things be forgotten? Alas, dear friends, I'm afraid that not only will the church forget them, to a large degree, the church has already forgotten them. Down through the centuries, churches have been the ones who have moved to get rid of most of the great evils of our world. It was through the work of Christians and churches that slavery was eliminated from Great Britain, and 3/4 of the people in the first anti-slavery meeting in New England were Christian clergymen. The church has been responsible for getting rid of cannibalism and headhunting, the binding of feet of women in China, and numerous other terrible social issues, prison reform, reform of asylums for the insane, and many other things the church has spoken out about. But today, that seems no longer to be the case. Don Wildman, a gentleman who has done an amazing job with the American Family Association, and some years ago he said something which I think is more true today than when he said it. Today, he says, 4,000 innocent, precious lives of unborn children were snuffed out, and 300,000 pulpits were silent. The networks make a mockery of Christians, the Christian faith, and Christian values with nearly every show they air. Greed, materialism, violence, sexual immorality are standard fare. Program after program, movie after movie contains anti-Christian episodes and propaganda. News articles condescendingly refer to Christians as fundamentalist right-wing. Those who speak out for the sacredness of life are branded as extremists, and 300,000 pulpits are silent. Christian morality cannot be taught in the schools, but atheistic immorality can be, and 300,000 pulpits are silent. Rape has increased 700% in the last 50 years, even taking into consideration the population growth, and 300,000 pulpits are silent. Rock music fills the airwaves. This was even before rap that he said this. And our children's minds are filled with music which legitimizes rape, murder, forced sex, sadomasochism, adultery, satanic worship, and much, much more. And 300,000 pulpits are silent. Martin Luther said that no matter how valiantly we might fight in the battle for Christ, if we are not fighting where the battle is the hottest, we are, in effect, traitors to his cause. We live in a time when truly the entire Western civilization is crumbling around us. Never in history has any nation so quickly abandoned both its religion and its moral principles as has America, said one historian. And 300,000 pulpits are silent. Woe be to that Christian who ignores the tremendous issues at stake in our society and is only concerned for what is going to profit himself, what he is going to get out of it, and only votes his pocketbook. Ladies and gentlemen, to vote your pocketbook only when ice picks are being shoved into the backs of the necks of babies is something you will have to explain to your maker. Ah, pastors, how many times I've had people come to me and say, why doesn't my pastor ever speak about any of these issues? And how many times I've had people tell me, my pastor doesn't have the courage to speak on these issues. Ah, dear friends, Here is where the battle is the hottest today. If we don't speak on them, who will? We are involved in a great conflict for the soul of this nation, for the soul of the world, and many are spectators on the side. Ah, dear one, Christ wants you to be a soldier for him. Pray that God will fill you with intensity to do whatever you can to become involved, to get out of the bleachers and onto the field and become a participant in the greatest struggle in the history of the world. A struggle for goodness, a struggle for godliness, a struggle of Christ against Satan. That is the battle that we are in.
Recently, in the runoff election for U.S. Senator from the state of Georgia, the Democrat candidate for one of the seats, Raphael Warnock, proudly declared on Twitter, "I am a pro-choice pastor." Now, the only reason someone could declare himself to be a Christian pastor and to be pro-abortion in the same sentence and not be laughed off the public stage as some kind of a madman is that our culture has become so confused as to become blind. There really are millions of deluded souls among us who think Christianity can include support for abortion, and that a thriving culture can safely kill millions of its children, even argue that we do them a favor by doing so. The sheer ignorance and evil of that is breathtaking, which is why we have developed some vital resources we want you to have and to share with others. And friends, this is the key to reversing the culture of death by proclaiming the truth and sharing it with others. The first is the booklet, Life, an Inalienable Right, Biblical Reasons for Protecting the Sanctity of Life, by D. James Kennedy and Jerry Newcomb, which we will send to you as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. This short book lays out the case for life, contrasting the biblical viewpoint with the pagan materialistic viewpoint that dominates our society today. And it equips you to defend the sanctity of human life in a world that has lost sight of it. And if you are able to give a generous donation of $40 or more, we will send you the booklet, Life, an Inalienable Right, plus the brand new DVD program, Celebrate Life, Pro-Life Champions Speak Out. This exclusive DVD program features inspiring stories, including a woman who survived an abortion attempt on her life, a woman whose own abortion devastated her, and who since has found Christ and works to save unborn lives, and Pam Stenzel, who you met earlier in this program. It also features conversations with major pro-life leaders and an exposé on the racist roots of Planned Parenthood, which destroys more black lives than any entity in America. That's the booklet, Life, an Inalienable Right, Biblical Reasons for Protecting the Sanctity of Life, by Dr. D. James Kennedy and Jerry Newcomb, as our thanks for your generous donation. And the booklet plus the special new DVD, Celebrate Life, Pro-Life Champions Speak Out, as our thanks for your generous donation of $40 or more. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. In the days following the 2020 election, we heard from many viewers and partners who were discouraged at the apparent outcome. One concerned soul wrote, "I was so angry and sad and have a very difficult time even getting up every day." Well, we can certainly understand that frustration, and we too are concerned about the current trajectory of our nation. However, some perspective here is important. On a temporal level, the pro-life, pro-liberty platform actually gained seats in the congressional elections. The Supreme Court, remade by President Trump, is already issuing opinions that favor religious freedom and pro-life initiatives. But even more importantly, we must remember the admonition of Scripture to put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. If the world lasts long enough before Christ's return, the United States will eventually fade, as all other earthly empires and nations ultimately do. We must strive to be responsible stewards of the inheritance we have been given in the meantime. But we must also remember that there is only one lasting, eternal kingdom, and we are first and foremost citizens of that fair land. As the Scripture says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself." The writer of the book of Hebrews, while declaiming the great heroes of the faith, is quick to note the temporary and fallen nature of even the best earthly nations. Instead, he calls us to an uplifted faith, saying, "But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city." So take heart. God's purposes are never thwarted. As we labor for the sake of the gospel and the kingdom of God here on earth, we nevertheless rejoice in the knowledge that He is building for us an eternal kingdom that will never fade or perish. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for being with us. And here's a look at the next truths that transform.
If I told you and described what was happening, you would naturally assume that what I'm talking about is the experiments and the inhumane treatment of humans by the Nazis. But this is America. This is 21st century America.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.